Well, God is good. We love him. He's
Yeah.
awesome. He's wonderful. He is great and greatly to be praised. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today with these, your people. I thank you that revelation knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered or unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic hindrances. Think through my mind, speak to my vocal cords today, Lord Jesus. Sweet Holy Spirit, amen and amen. All righty. We are on covenant, New Covenant Faith, Part 5. And today we're going to talk about abiding in the power of Jesus' love. Abiding in the power of Jesus' love. You do know that he loves us, right? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he did what?
He gave
his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him shall not perish. So as I teach, because it's the word of God, and that is Jesus is the manifested love of God.
Yes.
People are looking for his love in all the wrong places. God's love is in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And once you understand that, everything will be all right. All right, let's get back into this. We'll go over our introduction real quick. New Covenant Faith is about believing God to perform his word concerning Jesus. That's what New Covenant Faith is about. It's about God performing his word concerning Jesus, meaning all the promises that Jesus has provided for us. He died to provide for us. Amen. All righty. Glory be to God. So that means standing on who we are in him and what we have received through his finished work. So when we walk by faith, we're walking by what Jesus has done. We stand on the scriptures that promises us what Jesus has provided us. I'm going to say it again. We stand on the scriptures of what Jesus, of what the scriptures has promised us. Has provided for us and promised us in Christ Jesus. All the promises of God are yes and amen in who? In Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the way it is. It's the way it works. All righty. So true new covenant faith is about Jesus. That's true new covenant faith. Anything else beyond that is deception. As New Covenant believers, our faith rests solely on what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. I'm saying the same thing because that's how we get it. People need to get this. All righty. Praise God. Again, our faith rests entirely on what God has done for us in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
When someone claims to be walking by faith but leaves Jesus out of the equation, they are not truly walking by faith at all. A lot of people emphasize faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That is a very true statement and is in the scripture. But under the new covenant, without faith in Jesus, it's impossible to please God. For God so loved the world, he gave us Jesus, that whosoever will believe in Jesus shall not perish. All the promises are in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So put our faith in him and we'll see things begin to work in our lives. So when the scripture says the just shall live by faith, it means our entire life and faith is rooted in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
All righty. Let's move on. Let's do a review from last week. To say something is essential. I talked about how abiding in Jesus' love is essential, right?
Yes.
So what it means to abide in someone's love and it being essential, it means you cannot live, function, or succeed without it. You cannot live, you cannot function, and you cannot succeed without it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So abiding in Jesus is essential. So that means we have to remain connected with him. It's not an option. If we're going to be successful. So a lot of people struggle and they're not successful in their Christian walk because they don't abide, and they probably don't know how to abide. And that's the gift of the office of the teacher, The teacher is anointed to teach you the how-to of the scriptures to get the results. Moses understood the ways of God. The people saw or experienced the acts. So in this dispensation, Jesus gave teachers so that you can know the ways of God, the principles of God, so that you can experience the acts of God. Is that making sense to you?
Yeah.
So now, it's important that we understand to live right, we must abide. To live godly, to live right, we must abide. So adding anything else to this is intellectualism, it's pride, and it will lead to deception. You have to abide if you want to live godly. You can't do it without abiding. All righty? Make sense? All righty. Let's look at John 15:7. In John 15:7, Amplified Version, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, it says, that is, if you are vitally united and my message lives where? Where is the message supposed to live? It's supposed to live in our heart, not our head. The word in our head is dead, Fred. If anyone's named Fred, I'm not talking to you specifically. Just made a general statement. So, it has to be in your heart if you want to see this work. Hallelujah. So, it says, when you do that, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And my Father is glorified and honored by this. I'm going to put this on this stand here. So, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. He says he is honored. He says he is honored by this. He says, my Father is glorified and honored by this. What? That you abide in the Word. I said this last week, and you'll hear me say this all the time because it's absolutely a true statement. If you're abiding in the Word of God, if you're abiding in the words of Jesus, if you're abiding, and listen to what I'm saying, if you're abiding in the promises that Jesus has provided for you, what do you think you're going to ask God for? You're going to ask him for his word. You're going to ask him for chapter and verse of scriptures that promises you what Jesus died to provide. That's what you're going to ask. That's how you have effective prayer. You can't have an effective prayer life if you don't know the scriptures, if you don't know the promises that God has provided for you. So let that settle down. A lot of people go to church, but they don't read their Bible. That there is something else. They don't read their scriptures. They depend on reverend to preach at them, and they take some colloquial phrase that they make, some phrase or statement, and they, that was anointed. But what scripture can you go back to the Bible and find and meditate on it? Can you find a scripture that reverend said that you can meditate on, or it just sound good? But I like the Bible. When you read the Word, look what it says here. Go to a scripture here that absolutely changed my life. That's in the book of Colossians. Let me see if it's still in here. Colossians is after, Ephesians? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh? After Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. Yeah, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. Actually, that's incorrect. Yeah. You forgot Philippians.
Oh, no.
All righty, Galatians, Ephesians. Galatians, now you got me messing up. Let me just get to it, dang on it. Philippians. All righty, come on here. Look what it says here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. This is off my notes, but I just want to talk about this for a minute. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. I'm laughing at ourselves. I'm sitting there listening. Man, we done missed the whole book. We ain't even nowhere near to. Anyway, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth and things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Did you see that? Verse 21 says, and you who once were alienated and enemies, where? In your own mind. How? By wicked works, yet he has reconciled. Look at 22. In the body of his flesh through death. Why did he do that? Comma, why? To present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Indeed, you can if you continue in the faith, or if you continue to believe that, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of his calling. You see that? What is going on with the screen here? So that's the way it works. Now, the screen just changed. You stinking devil. Bet no spirits better not be in here. So, well, that is very interesting that just stopped. So the point I want to make is this, is when you know what the scripture says, you praise the Lord. Well, we're going to be without the screen today, so just bear with us. I don't know why that went down. So anyway, when Reverend is speaking to you and just saying something, but if there's no scriptures that he's basing and teaching out of, you can't go home and meditate on it. The Bible says, meditate on my word day and night. The word is the words out this book. So if you're not getting words out the book, you have nothing to go home and feed your spirit man. Okay? That make sense to you?
Yeah.
This is serious, serious stuff, and this is the way it works. All righty. Let's continue on. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8, 31 through 39. If you have your reading devices, that's great. If not, just follow along with me. Hallelujah. So in Romans 8, 31 through 39, it reads, what then shall we say to these things? Well, since the screen is down, we'll just go from here. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be successfully against us? No one can be successfully against us. Isn't that something? So they'll try, but they won't succeed. The enemy will try you, but if you abide in Jesus, he won't succeed.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying there. 32 says, he who did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all. Why did he do it? How will he not also, along with him, see, look what it says, graciously give us all things. Mm-hmm. You see that? Like we talked about that last week, give. It's free. He gives us all things through Jesus. And then it goes on in verse 33. It says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Nobody.
Nobody.
Right? That means you and I are God's elect. His chosen ones. It is God that has justified us, declaring us, look what it says, declaring us blameless and puts us in right relationship with himself. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? He did it. We didn't do anything. We just, except for receive the gift of our righteousness through Christ Jesus. 34 says, and who is the one, meaning God, who is the one who is the one who condemns us? So that means no one can condemn us. That means don't go condemning yourself. The enemy loves to bring condemnation, guilt, and shame to you, make you feel you're not good enough or worthy enough of the blessings of Christ Jesus. But listen to what I'm saying here. The blessings is based on God's love and gift to you. God so loved the world that he gave the gift of your righteousness to you. Why? Because you couldn't do it on your own. That's grace. So in and of ourselves, we couldn't obtain it because we were born in the sin and shaping in iniquity. We were born that way. But God made a way for us not to stay that way.
Amen.
And some people want to stay the way they are. And salvation is not about us staying the way we are. We get saved because we want to be changed. I'll say that again. We get saved because we want to be changed. I'll say that one more time because people don't understand it. We get saved because we want him, we want to be changed. And that's what he does for us. He changes us. So again, Christ Jesus is the one who died and paid our penalty. So why are we paying penalties for things that he's already died for? Sin, the penalty of sin is sickness, disease, poverty, lack, shortage, heartache, pain, drama, all that stuff, all that junk. He says, I paid the penalty. That's called the curse. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we don't have to have, we don't have to walk in it if we don't want to. Religion will make excuses so that you can continue to suffer and struggle because it won't accept it by faith, trusting that God loves you, and he's not going to let the curse be in your life anymore.
Right.
But you got to believe it. All righty. So anyway, he says he's paid the penalty, and more than that, he was raised from the dead. Why? From the dead, and he who is at the right hand of God interceding with the Father for us. So Jesus is interceding with the Father for us. Bishop Green told us about this technology. Y'all better start getting y'all Bibles. Okay, hallelujah. Let's continue. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, will distress, will persecution, will famine, our nakedness, our danger and sword, you know, war, problems? No. Continuing on in Romans 8:31-39 says, just as it is written forever and remains written, for your sakes we are put to death all day long. And I told you about that. The death that we are put to death in is the death of our flesh. You got to die to your flesh man so that your spirit man can live. We have dominion out of our spirit man. We're going to do some teaching on this here definitely within the next few months. We got to get into understanding how to live out of our born again spirit. So we are regarded as sheep for the slaughter. We are regarded as, see, the enemy tries to attack us and destroy us, but Jesus defends us and takes care of us. We just have to learn how to yield to the spirit that is within so that the victory that is in us can come out of us, which is Christ's victory. The Christ nature comes out of us to deal with the demonic activity around us that tries to get into us or influence us. Whew, that's good stuff there. So he says in 37, the scripture says in 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us. Did you see that? We gain overwhelming victory through him, meaning Jesus who loved us. He already defeated the devil for us. I'm going to say that again. Jesus has already defeated the devil for us. So there's no reason for us to walk around defeated. If a Christian is living a defeated life, it's because they don't know how to get the devil under their feet, which is the feet of Jesus, because he's their body. You're part of his body.
Yeah.
So you got to learn how to take dominion over the demonic activity and the problems, circumstances, situations, drama, and trauma in your life. The first thing you got to do to get rid of that junk is to separate from that junk. You got to separate from living a hellish lifestyle if you want to live a heavenly lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it again. You have to separate from living a hellish lifestyle if you want to live a heavenly lifestyle. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is where?
In heaven.
He wants us, you, to have a heavenly life here on the earth. How do I do that, Pastor Larry? Separate from the mess. And for some people, that's going to take courage. And so anyway, finishing that, he says, there is neither death nor life. Let me finish reading verse 38. It says, for I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond a doubt that neither death nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created things will be able to separate us from the unlimited. God, I like that, the way they amplify it. The unlimited love of God. We're at Romans 8. 38. The unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Unlimited. There is no limit to his love.
Bam.
There's no limit to it. Isn't that awesome? I like our fellowship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, we're going to get into section one. It'd be a good time to go back and look at this on the website. It'll be up. And then you can actually see the notes and take. Yeah, go from there. All right. So section one, walking in the light of Jesus's love. Walking in the light of Jesus's love. So in 1 John 4:19, it says, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the Bible say. That's what the scriptures say. Glory to God. So why did God give Jesus? Because of love. God loves his creation. The devil came down to try to destroy his creation. All righty. So where is the love of God? The love of God is always abounding in Jesus. The love of God is always in Jesus. So if you're looking for the love of God in anything other than Jesus, you will be deceived. I'm going to say this so much, boy, people are going to get tired of hearing it. When you get tired of hearing it, you're getting it. What was that? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love. People looking for love. Everybody looking for love. Why? You were created to be loved by God. We were created to be loved by God. Sin separates us from the love of God.
Yeah.
Salvation is really a love connection back with God.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, reconnection of love. Amen. Hallelujah. Living right is easy when you understand that it goes well with you. You got to love yourself enough to live godly.
Come on. Yes.
See what I'm saying? Yes. People don't love themselves enough to live godly. Glory to God. So it says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and body, and love thy neighbor as you love yourself. So when you do things for your self-love and improvement in Christ Jesus, stay connected to the vine of love. Glory to God. The fruits of that love is going to come out of you. Love don't hurt nobody. Love don't bother nobody. Watch this. Love don't talk about nobody. Love don't look down on nobody. Hallelujah.
Right.
If you in sin, love, pray for that person to get delivered from that sin. Because a person that's sinning is hurting themselves. They ain't hurting me. You hurting yourself. You causing yourself to have heartache, pain, and trouble, and drama, and trauma in your life. Why? Because you're violating your own love for yourself by not walking in the boundaries of his love for you. Huh? Lord, that's the truth. Just think about it. If people just think about their own lives, of how many mistakes they made that was self-inflicting, doing goofy stuff, for their own personal pleasure, in the name of I'm enjoyment. Not realizing God said no, not because he was trying to stop you from having personal pleasure. That type of pleasure brings destruction. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but it leads unto destruction. God, does God want you to have sex? Yeah, he wants you to have sex. With the same person? No. I mean, same sex? No. It don't work that way. Well, you judge it. No, I'm telling you what the Bible say.
Amen.
Now, you don't have to do it. I can't force nobody to do nothing. But when you have problems as a result of it, you have to go back and look at the book. And you think people think that they're violating what they don't understand is you're violating spiritual laws that eventually catch up with you. And so God's trying to chase you down to say, hey, before the problems get to a place where they're irreversible. Man. Okay, well, let me move on that. Praise the Lord. In John 3:17-21, it reads, we're talking about in section one, we're still talking about walking in the light of Jesus' love. For God did not send his son, talking about Jesus, into the world to condemn the world. but that the world through him might be saved. Mm-hmm. 18 says, he who believes in him, talking about Jesus. Why do we say Jesus so much? Because people don't want to say his name over the pulpit no more in America. I don't know. Anyway, he who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Meaning he doesn't believe in the power of the name, that the power that's in that name to save and deliver and to heal. See, just believing on some about someone don't mean you believe in them. Well, I believe in Jesus. Okay, yeah, but do you believe in the works that Jesus works, which is destroy sin in your life? Do you believe that part of Jesus? Or you just believe in the I can go to church anywhere and live any kind of way, Jesus that loves me? You're deceived. 19. It says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love what? Darkness rather than light. That's why we got the lights on here. I like light. I don't like dark stuff. I don't like the dark. Dark is for sleeping. Light is for working and doing and enjoying life. Alrighty. So this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the lights and does not come to the light, lest their deeds be exposed. Why? Because the light exposes sin. And when people don't want their sin exposed, they won't come to a church that's going to talk about how to get free of their sin. So you won't go nowhere that's going to teach you how to do it when you don't want to know how. People want to keep stay in sin. What'd you say? Well, what do you think I'm reading? Oh, no, I'm not reading that. So what did it say in the Amplified? For every wrongdoer hates the light and does not come into what?
Shrinks from it. For fear that his sinful, worthless activities will be exposed and condemned.
Well, I was getting ready to, no, you're all right. I was getting ready to bring it up on my thing, but no, because they don't want, listen, this is a true statement. People that don't come to the light and walk in the light of Jesus' love don't want to live right, for real. This is the truth. See, people want some fancy speech to get them excited so that they can get more money and get a better job or whatever. But the prerequisite, salvation, is about godliness. And when godliness is the desire of your heart, all those things come automatically. A lot of times, the reason it ain't came automatically for a lot of good-hearted Christians is because churches teach against it. But when the righteous are authority, are the city rejoices.
Yeah.
God wants godly people to be in charge of the economic system of the world. Why? Because they're not going to take advantage and use the money to enslave and hurt and harm people. But you listen to these religious zealot goofnagles. Be like Fred Price. Wait up. This is how you learn. People love to go to sleep when they're listening. No, we're going to sit here. Anyway, I ain't going to mess with you today. All right, come on. John 4:9-10, it reads. In this the love of God was manifested toward us. Ooh, I like to see that word manifest. Mm-hmm. See, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. Oh my goodness, you see that? That we might live how? Through him. We live through Jesus. We live through what he's done for us. That's how we live. How you living? In Jesus. People say, how you living? In Jesus. Glory to God. That's how we live. How we live? We live in Jesus. Woo! Ain't no sickness and disease and poverty in Jesus.
Amen.
We living in Jesus. Just keep living right. And the blessings are going to continue to manifest in your life. That's the way that thing works. You ain't got to do nothing but be like a beautiful plant that God planted in his beautiful marble garden of the earth. Keep living godly and you're going to prosper more and more. People are going to see the glory of the Lord on you. Why? Because you're living godly. You got to live in a way that people want to live godly. And that's what's wrong with church folk. You're not living in a way where people that are in sin want to get saved. What time is it in America? It's time for people to live godly in America. Yeah. And it's time for the church to stop playing kindergartners, being like kindergartners and grow up and live godly.
Amen.
I mean, this is ridiculous. Sitting around in circles talking about their problems. When Jesus has already set you free from the power of the devil. What are they teaching y'all in these churches? Nothing. Give you something to do to make you feel good about yourself, but you don't even read your Bible. Don't even know who you are in Jesus. I've been there, done that. My life didn't change. That's why I left. What is the purpose of going and serving God and my life didn't change?
Yeah.
There was no purpose in it. I might not be the most educated person on this planet, but I ain't stupid. Stupid is doing the same thing and nothing changing. Personally on the inside. I can't control who sits in the seats. I can control how I live, though. That's what I control. I control my godly lifestyle. And if people want to live godly, they'll come to a place where the man of God is about living godly. And that's all I'm going to say about that today. That aspect of it. Look at 1 John 4:16. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." That's powerful right there. You got to know and believe the love that God has for you to walk in the power of Jesus' love. You got to know and believe it. And most people don't really know and understand it. God loves me. God loves me. Okay, where is his love at in you? How does he love you? And then they start talking about all the material things that they have in their life. They never tell you scripturally how he loves them. So you have no scriptures to show people how he loved you. See, makes me think of the lady that came to him with the alabaster box and broke that thing open and began to wash his feet with her hair. What? She was so happy to be free from the sin that she was in. Glory to God. Don't say it again. She was so happy to be free from the sin that she was in. That's how I know he loves me. He set me free from all that garbage, all that heartache and pain that I was going through in my life, all the things that the devil did to me. That's why the Bible says that redemption, salvation is about redemption, to redeem you from that mess, to buy you back. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. And so you got to hold fast to your salvation. Because it has a great recompense. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And reward. Look up the word recompense. It's time for the great payback.
Yeah.
God gonna pay you back for all that the devil did to you. Yes, you're going to go to heaven. But it's time. You're going to have some heaven on earth, baby. You're going to leave here wealthy. You're going to leave here leaving money for your children's children. If you get in line with what's happening in the dispensation of this time, which is live godly, the godly are going to prosper. And this is about church folk. Mm-hmm. He's calling a group of people right now that was former backsliders to come on back home. And he's going to blow people's mind with the people that he's choosing. All right. Praise the Lord. Again, we've come in the known. Amplify says, well, let me finish the New King James. It says, "We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." So we have to abide in love. Mm-hmm. And love is the most, God's love is the most powerful force in the universe. 1 John 4:16 says, we have come to know by personal observation and experience. Personal, I've observed people that have walked godly. Mm-hmm. And I see where they are at now. And I saw people that didn't or look like they was walking godly and where they ended up. I left out of frustration, but now I'm old enough and I can look. And I said, this is the way to righteousness. Thank God for giving me another opportunity. And there's people right now, he's trying to give another opportunity. And you better make the decision before the door shuts on you. You got an opportunity. It's time to come to Jesus. It's time to come back home before you go to hell. How about that for some good preaching and teaching? I don't need to do all this to get you excited. You better start reading this book, people. Read what the books say. And stop being deceived. People out here preaching abracadabra. They are. People preaching abracadabra to you, and you jumping around like an idiot. It ain't even the Bible. Paul said not to think beyond what is written. The word's not in the Bible. Glory to God. That is witchcraft personified. All righty, come on, let's keep on talking about this here. Where I go, man? I, man. Praise God. I've been here 34 minutes. I got about 15 minutes more minutes to talk to you. Continuing that, 1 John 4:16 says, we have come to know by personal observation and experience, and I believe with deep and constant faith, deep and constant faith. I'll say it again. We have believed with deep and constant faith the love which God has for us. Think about that. Constantly thinking about the love he has for us. Praise you, Jesus. Constantly thinking about that. God is love. I'm reading the Amplified. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides continually in him. So Jesus is the manifested love of God. When we abide in Jesus, we abide in God's love. Don't complicate that. Yes, you're supposed to love other people, but you can't love other people independent of God. And that's why people struggle loving other people. Man, I just keep touching this thing and it keeps jumping on me. Forgive me. So, yeah, this thing is pretty sensitive. So, praise God. So we're back to where we were at. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next thing. Boy, I'm just, this technology, man. Amen. Bishop told you leave that technology alone. All righty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All righty. So let's look at this in the easy to read. Y'all mind if I read to you a little bit? I ain't trying to do a bunch of yelling and screaming and getting excited today. People got enough movie star preachers that jump around and shout and preach real hard to get them excited. Got plenty of them out there. You need teachers that you need preachers and ministers that's going to flat foot just explain the Bible to you so you can live the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? That's the truth. All righty. 1 John 5:1-5 in the easy to read. It says the people who believes that Jesus is the Messiah are God's children. Anyone who loves the Father also loves the Father's children, your brothers and sisters in Christ. He who does not know, how do we know that we love God's children? We know because we love God and we obey his commandments. Verse 3, loving God means obeying his commandments. Now, right there, it says loving God means obeying his commandments. I love God. You a lie, as my spiritual father used to say, in your breath stank. It smelled like sin. That's the way I see it. And your breath smelled like sin. You cannot say You love God and you practice habitually living in sin and you have no desire to change. They a lie and they're breathing sin out their mouth. And God, see, I want to live right. You got to want to live right. A lot of people don't want to live right. You got to want to live right to live right. And God's commands are not too hard for us. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to do what you don't want to do. I mean, right there, man, we could just shut church. You can shut the service down right here. It is hard to do what you don't want to do. Am I lying? When you want to do something, it's easy to do what you want to do. It's hard to do what you don't want to do. When you really don't want to do something, man, it's like pulling teeth. Why ain't people going to church? They don't want to. I know you're looking for something deep and spiritual to try to figure. They don't want to. The commands and God's commands are not too hard for us because everyone who is a child of God has the power to win against the world, the sinful ways of the world. They have the power. To say that they don't is deception. And that's what psychology and all that junk they're preaching over the pulpit. It ain't about the power of God to change your heart. It's about you trying to, I don't know, doing a lot of goofy stuff. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Honey, you'll be proud of me. I made my new notes in this thing. Look at this here. My wife's been telling me to get my little notes up here. I don't know how to scroll that thing up. But look, it's called this group therapy and therapy sessions when you focus, when your focus is on your past experiences, underlining emotional problems. Let's see if this will go down, if I can get, I want to get my notes. There you go. Praise the Lord. So these are little psychodramatic groups. Psychodramatic. I mean, come on. They're sitting around and they call that discipleship. No, man. What does the Bible say? You're in the flesh. And you just got to call it what the scriptures is and go to the throne of grace and obtain help in the time of need. You need help and deliverance on how to get out of living out of your flesh, man. Your carnal nature. And what you need to identify with is your new spiritual man, your spiritual nature that takes dominion over your carnal nature. Yeah. But if you don't know how to do that, you're going to struggle. All righty, praise the Lord. We are at section 2, walking in the light and living right, that it will may go well with us. And it is 40 after. We've been here about 40 minutes. And I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. Enough was said today, and we'll come back next Sunday. Hopefully someone will come and join us if you want to live holy and righteous and godly and really learn how to do this. Lord has instructed me to just teach and explain the scripture so that you can grow and overflow in who you are and what you have in Jesus. Amen. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today with your people. I ask that you get this in front of the people that you have ordained for them to hear, see, and understand it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hallelujah. Hopefully you were blessed. That's all we're going to talk about today. We'll come back next week and we'll get into some other stuff. Hallelujah. Huh? I got my notes on the side.